Chapter 8. The police headquarters downtown consists of a sprawling collection of buildings that have sprung up over the years as need for law enforcement has increased. They don't match, and they come from a wildly varying selection of styles and designs, but they have somehow adapted themselves into a cohesive whole, much like the force itself. Special Investigations operates out of a big, rundown old building, a huge cube that has managed to hold up solidly in spite of the years, the grime, the smog, and the graffiti sprayed on the walls. It has bars over the windows and the doors and sits hunkered amidst buildings much taller than it, like a faithful old bulldog amidst a crowd of unruly children struggling to maintain peace and order. The inside of the building is plain, even dingy, but they keep it clean. The old war horse of a desk sergeant eyed me as I entered the station, his gray mustache bristling over an impressive jaw. "Hiya, Bill," I told him, and held up the manila envelope I had under one arm. "Bringing something to Murphy in SI." "Dresden," he said wearily, and jerked a thumb toward the stairs behind him, giving me permission to go by. I hadn't got much sleep the night before, but I had showered and dressed nicely before I left the house, in neat business clothes for once, instead of my usual western shirt and blue jeans. I kept the battered old duster, though, with my blasting rod dangling from a thong inside of it. I took the stairs two at a time and passed a few cops along the way. Several recognized me, and one or two even nodded, but I thought I could detect a sense of uneasiness from each of them. Apparently, I was carrying a distinct odor with the law at the moment. I wrinkled up my nose. The police had always known me as something of a nut, the crazy guy who claimed to be a wizard, but a useful nut, who could provide good information, and whose apparent psychic abilities had helped them on a number of occasions. I was used to being seen as one of the good guys, but now the cops were giving me the neutral, professional glances that they would give to a potential criminal, rather than the casual greetings one would give to a comrade in arms. It was to be expected, maybe, since rumor had associated my name with Johnny Marconi, but it was still disturbing. I was muttering to myself and deep in my own sleep-deprived thoughts when I bumped into a tall, lovely woman, dark of hair and eye, full of mouth, long of leg. She was wearing a tan skirt and jacket with a crisp white blouse. Her raven brows furrowed in consternation until she looked up at me, then glowed with a sort of friendly avarice. "Harry," she said, her lips curving into a smile. She stood up on her tiptoes and kissed my cheek. "Fancy seeing you here." I cleared my throat. "Hi, Susan," I said. "Did that syndication deal go through?" She shook her head. "Not yet, but I'm hoping. After those stories you gave me last spring, people started taking me a little more seriously." She paused, drawing in a little breath. It made her chest rise and fall most attractively. "You know, Harry, if you're working with the police again and you should happen to be able to let me in on whatever is going on," I shook my head and tried to scowl at her. "I thought we agreed. I won't poke into your business deals and you won't poke into mine." She smiled up at me and touched a finger to my chest. "That was whenever we were out on a date, Harry." She let her eyes wander down the length of my body and then back up. "Or staying in on one." "Susan Rodriguez, I never knew you were a lawyer as well as a journalist." "Now you're getting nasty," she said, grinning. "Seriously, Harry, another expose like last spring could make my career." "Yeah, well, after last spring, the city made me sign about 2 tons of non-disclosure agreements. I can't tell you anything about the case."
"So don't tell me about the case, Harry. But if you could mention, say, a nice spot on the street where I might stand and get some good pictures, I would be very..." She leaned up and kissed my neck. "Very..." The kiss traveled to my earlobe. "Grateful." I swallowed and cleared my throat, then took a step back down the stairs, away from her. I closed my eyes for a second and listened to the thunder of my suddenly pounding heart. "I'm sorry. I can't do that."
"Oh, Harry, you're no fun." She reached down and ran a hand over my hair, then smiled to let me know that there were no bad feelings. "But let's get together soon, all right? Dinner?"
"Sure," I said.
"Hey, what are you doing down here this early?"
She tilted her head, considering me.
betrayed me? I'll show you mine if you show me yours. Off the record, even. I snorted. Susan, give me a break. She let out a little sigh and shook her head. I'll call you about dinner, all right? She started down the stairs past me. All right, I said. All right, I'm bringing a report on werewolves to Murphy. Werewolves? She said, her eyes lighting. Is that who's behind the Lobo murders? I frowned. No comment. I thought the FBI was keeping that under wraps. You can't kill a dozen people and expect no one to notice, Susan said, her voice sly. I keep track of the city morgues. God, you're so romantic. All right, your turn. Give. I was trying to talk to the investigator from the department's internal affairs. Word is that they're putting the pressure on Murphy, trying to clear her out of special investigations. I grimaced. Yeah, I heard that too. Why does that concern you and the arcane? The most successful preternatural investigator the police department has gets strung out to dry? Even if people don't believe it, Murphy does a lot of good. If Murphy gets fired, and I can show how the numbers of mysterious crimes and unexplained deaths go up after she leaves, maybe I can get people to listen to the papers like the Arcane, and to people like you. I shook my head. People don't want to believe in magic anymore, or things that go bump in the night. For most part, they're happier not knowing. And when not knowing gets someone killed? I shrugged. That's where people like me and Murphy come in. Susan eyed me doubtfully. All I need is something solid, Harry. An eyewitness account, a photograph, something. You can't photograph anything really supernatural, I pointed out. The energies around things like that will mess up cameras. Besides, the stuff I'm dealing with right now is too dangerous. You could get hurt. What if I shot from a long way off, she pressed. Used a telephoto lens. I shook my head. No, Susan, I'm not going to tell you anything. It's for your own good as much as mine. She pressed her lips together. Fine, she said, her tone crisp, and went down the stairs. I watched her go, dismayed. It seemed I was making a habit of excluding people from certain brands of information. Not only were my job and my freedom on the line, and Murphy's job, too, now it seemed that my love life, or what passed for it, was in danger as well. I took a moment to try to sort through my thoughts and feelings on Susan, and gave it up as hopeless. Susan was a reporter for the Midwestern Arcane, a tabloid circulated widely from Chicago. It usually ran headlines about Elvis and JFK singing duets in Atlantic City, or on similar topics. But once in a while, Susan managed to slip in something about the real world of the supernatural, the one that people had forgotten about in favor of science. She was damn good at her job, absolutely relentless. She was also charming, gorgeous, funny, and sexy as hell. Our dates had often ended in long, passionate evenings at my place or hers. It was an odd relationship, and neither one of us had tried to define it. I think maybe we were worried that if we did, we would change our minds and write it off as a bad idea. I continued up the stairs, my mind a tired muddle of blood-spattered corpses, savage beasts, angry ex-apprentices, and sultry dark eyes. There were times when my work is hard on my love life, but one thing I'm not is a boring date. The doors to the SI office swung open just before I reached them, and I drew up short. Agent Denton of the FBI was there, tall and immaculate in his gray suit. He stopped, too, and looked at me, holding open the door with one arm. There were bags under his gray eyes, but they were still calculating, assessing, and the veins on his forehead bulged with hypertension. Mr. Dresden, he said, and nodded to me. Agent Denton, I replied, keeping my tone polite, even friendly. Excuse me, I need to get something to Lieutenant Murphy. Denton frowned a little, then glanced at the room behind him, before coming all the way out into the hall and letting the door swing shut. Maybe now isn't the best time for you to see her, Mr. Dresden. I glanced up at the clock on the wall. It was 5 minutes before 8. She wanted it early. I stepped to one side to go around him. Denton put a hand on my chest, just that, but he was strong. He might have been shorter than me, but he was carrying a lot more muscle. He didn't look at my eyes, and when he spoke, his voice was very quiet. Look, Dresden,